He was not a real doctor. His family and friends called him Ted. Since his death in 1991, Theodore Seuss Geisel has become the best-selling author of children's books in the world. Now the city of Springfield is paying homage to its favorite native son with a first-of-its-kind Dr. Seuss Museum. Reporter Charlene Scott has this preview.
A few weeks before the museum's opening, construction workers and painters put finishing touches on the space. The walls blaze with a riot of colors, including reds, blues, greens, and orange. Large murals show favorite characters. Horton the elephant studies the Who sitting on his trunk. The Cat in the Hat balances a number of objects on his paws and tail. And rushing down the stairs with a plate of green eggs and ham is Sam I Am. Remember him?
That's Sam I Am. That's Sam I Am. I do not like that Sam I Am. Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam I Am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
The entire first floor of the new museum offers interactive displays. In the recreation of Seuss's boyhood bedroom in Springfield, children can draw on touch screens, mimicking artwork done on the walls by the young Seuss and his sister Marnie.
And then his relationship with his mother with the bakery, which is downtown here.
Artist and designer John Simpson.
And then with his father fishing at McGilligan's pool, we tried to show how these little family experiences contributed to his imagination.
Family experiences are also highlighted on the second floor, where Seuss's two stepdaughters have installed their own personal collections, gathered while they lived with their mother and their stepdad in La Jolla, California. Lee Gray Diamond says she just about emptied out her own house in order to recreate the rooms where Seuss spent most of his time.
This is his chair. He would lean back in the chair, always with his feet up, and he would look at what he was doing. The room is lined with bulletin boards, and he would pace out the book on pale yellow paper, and he would work the room over and over, and then he'd kick back in his chair with his feet up, and then he would throw the chair forward, his hair would come forward, and he'd be working at the desk.
At the end of every workday, Lee Gray says her stepdad would have a gin and tonic, complete with a kumquat snatched from the yard. Dinner took place on the sofa, where the whole family would use trays on their laps. That sofa now sits in the recreation of the Seuss sitting room, along with family tapestries and other furnishings. Lee Gray and her sister have also contributed drawings, photographs, and other family memorabilia that have never been seen by the public before.
You saw him at his desk making these things. He would drop little notes on your bed or put them in your coat pocket. So everybody has memories of their pop and their mom. Those are your memories if Ted was your step-pop.
Lee Gray's famous step-pop almost didn't make it as a children's book author. Some 27 publishers rejected his first effort, and To Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street, before it finally appeared in print in 1937. 20 years later, Seuss joined a campaign to improve children's literacy by writing a book using only a few hundred simple words.
We looked. Then we saw him step in on the mat. We looked, and we saw him. The Cat in the Hat. And he said to us, "Why do you sit there like that? I know it is wet."
The Cat in the Hat helped launch a beginner book series that's still helping kids learn to read today. Eventually, versions of Seuss's books would appear on television, in feature films, and on Broadway. That led to recognition from the Oscars, the Emmys, the Grammys, a Pulitzer Prize, and a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Before all that success, Ted Geisel worked as an illustrator and cartoonist. During World War II, he drew some anti-Japanese cartoons. These are not currently on display or mentioned at all in the museum. Lee Gray Diamond says her stepfather eventually came to regret his feelings about the Japanese.
Of course he evolved and changed, and I'm very careful not to put words in his mouth, but the man I knew did not have any type of racism or prejudice. We never heard any type of talk, ever.
But Lee Gray says the family did hear his opinions about social and political issues, which he often included in his books. Seuss wrote Yertle the Turtle as an allegory about Hitler. The Lorax focuses on the environment.
"Mister,"
he said with a sawdusty sneeze,
I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees. I speak for the trees have no tongues. And I'm asking you, sir, at the top of my lungs.
He was very upset.
Kids can read about the Lorax and some of Dr. Seuss's other famous characters in a museum exhibition space called Readingville, while their parents explore the recreated rooms on the second floor where Seuss lived and worked. Lee Gray Diamond says her stepfather would have loved this museum.
He would be absolutely at ease here. And to know that he's going to be here permanently, safe, protected, that people who want to know more are going to make the trip here to see him, it's perfect.
The Amazing World of Dr. Seuss opens this weekend at the Springfield Museums. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Charlene Scott in Springfield.